This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. In studio, it's Chris.
Hey, I'm Ian.
And I'm Nobody.
And we are here to delight you with wonderful stories of things going on in the world.
Isn't and that delightful?
I felt like it's a delightful day. And we're going to talk about delightful ways that your government is violating your rights and the rights of people around the world. But hopefully we'll have some good stories to tell, too. Some more delightful stories than this first one, which involves a small island in Canada. Isn't this how all our stories start, with a small island in Canada?
No,
they don't.
But statistically, I actually think that's pretty rare.
I think so, too. I was being facetious. That would be another word I like today. Wonderful word. Delightful. But in this case, there is a small island called Carpabello Island, which is in the Bay of Fundy, which sounds like fun.
Not the Portobello Island in the Sea of Fungi.
Nice. But it is a tiny Canadian island. There are only about 800 people that live there. And because of it's so close to Maine, and because of how mail gets delivered, the mail has to actually come through the United States.
The Canadian mail?
The Canadian mail to these Canadian citizens has to pass first through the United States. It's closest postal sorting.
That's got to slow things down
facility.
A bit.
Well, I say it's pretty quick, but these 800 people are just really tired of every single piece of mail being opened before they get it.
They're opening it.
Well, yes.
Isn't that kind of illegal?
Well,
if it's crossing borders.
And if it's the government, what does it matter? I mean, stupid laws like you can't interfere with the mail, you can't read mail, you can't commit mail fraud, you can't open mail, you can't even mess with somebody's mailbox is a federal offense, but hey, if it's the government, it's okay. So yeah, that's the long and the short of it. The population of
I actually know a kid who got he was investigated and I think arrested by the FBI because he got drunk one night and he was out knocking people's mailboxes off their posts with a baseball bat hanging out the window of a car, which is a stupid thing to do.
It is, and
if you have this problem, you can solve it by just putting some bricks in your mailbox, which will give the guy who's doing it a nice broken arm.
Right.
But it seems a little petty to be a federal crime.
The population of a tiny Canadian island off the coast of Maine is demanding their government start a year-round ferry service or build a new bridge to the mainland to keep American customs officials from opening what they say is nearly every piece of mail they've been sent for over a year. Campobello Island sits on the Bay of Fundy off the coast of the province of New Brunswick. But the only way to easily access the island outside of summer months is via Maine. This means mail headed to the island for residents from other parts of Canada must leave the country and drive for nearly an hour in a sealed truck through the state before it returns to its final destination in Canada. So you mail something in Canada, it gets to close to this island. They shoot it over to the United States where it's sorted, and then it's sent through in a sealed truck before it returns to its final destination. Mm-hmm. This was rarely too much of an issue for the island's nearly 800 residents, many of which cross the border each day and every day go to work in mainland New Brunswick or even in Maine itself. Former U.S. President FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, even used to vacation on the island.
Well, it used to be pretty easy to cross between Canada and the United States.
Right.
In fact, I've been to the town on Derby Line, Vermont, which is literally, you know, crossed through by the border. And it was kind of an interesting experience. I made a short documentary about it when a group of activists from New Hampshire went up there to kind of check that out and cross the border and, you know, see what it was like these days. And basically, the border crackdown has really strangled the life out of that little town. And so it sounds like the crackdown has come to Campobello Island as well.
So any guesses is, what happened?
What security interests could the United States possibly have? I'm assuming it would have to be a security interest in opening mail that originates in Canada and ends up in Canada.
But is it? Is it a security issue? That was, when I started reading this, that was the first thing I thought, too. War on terror. I mean, my God, turns out it's a different war.
Okay.
The drug war?
It's the war on drugs. See, what did Canada recently do?
Legalize cannabis.
Legalize cannabis.
That's why it's only been for the last year.
Exactly. But still, we've got to open up every piece of mail and make sure there's no reefer passing through America.
Maine also legalized it.
It doesn't matter.
Again, the idea that mail containing vapes, for example, is sure to be passing through Massachusetts from time to time.
Sure.
Where vapes are more or less, for the time being, illegal.
I don't have the story, but it has been proposed, I think, in Congress and possibly in, it is a U.S. bill that's being proposed that will forbid the U.S. Postal Service for delivering vaping products.
Oh, wow. The biggest lobbyists behind that work for FedEx and UPS.
Very likely. Everything changed, though, once Canada's government legalized recreational cannabis just over a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Since then, U.S. Customs and Border Patrol, CBP, officers have stopped nearly every truck carrying mail bound for Campobello Island as it crosses the border into Maine and opens most packages and letters headed for the island's residents. The officials are searching for marijuana ordered from the province's government-run online store since the product is illegal in Maine.
No, it's not. And that's not why they're doing it. They're doing it because it's illegal federally.
Yeah, it's not illegal in Maine, but it is illegal under federal
law,
which applies in Maine, technically.
This is true. CBP officers, this is a quote, CBP officers possess broad search authority to ensure the safety and admissibility of all goods entering the United States.
Immediately leaving.
Right. This includes the ability to inspect and search all persons, baggage, and merchandise arriving in or transiting through the United States, unquote, said spokesperson Michael McCarthy, no relation to Joe McCarthy. This is just... this stuff must be on U.S. soil... conceivably, and we're talking about mail. We're talking about something somebody ordered from Amazon.
Yeah.
Right?
Or even something that they ordered from the cannabis dispensary. Who cares?
Exactly.
Not to mention that since it's a government cannabis dispensary, one would think they would simply be able to say, hey, government cannabis dispensary, how do you mark the outside of your packages
exactly.
so we can open them without bothering other people who have nothing to do with you.
It's an amazing idea that the U.S. has mail. They know when they see stuff. They got to know what Campobello Island is. This is going to a sorting facility, I assume, in Maine.
Mm-hmm.
This can't be a big mystery to them. Why can't you just say, oh, this truck is a sealed mail delivery truck headed for Campobello. We're going to leave it alone.
The other question is all the mail leaving Colorado and California now searched because headed for other states?
Because CPB doesn't have jurisdiction to do that.
Oh, you're right. It's the Border Patrol,
right.
Of course.
Possibly Washington State, though, because it is within the 100-mile no constitution zone of our borders.
Yeah,
possible, maybe.
I don't think that's...
I think it would be hard.
855-450-FREE. What do you think? Should the United States be worried about mail sent to an island of 800 Canadians? It doesn't sound like a big threat to me. This is Free Talk Live. Yeah! This is Free Talk Live. 855-450-FREE. That is our toll-free number. That's 855-450-3733. You can also hit us up on Discord. Just load the Discord app on your phone, on your PC, and use your quality microphone and your high-speed internet connection, and you can sound like you are right here in the studio with us. And the idea is you contact us. We're going to bring up stuff if nobody's on the phones. And we are
right
talking.
Here.
He's right here.
Oh, I'm sorry. This gets confusing. We are talking about Canadians who are tired of getting their mail opened when it barely passes through the United States. Therefore, customs officials must open every piece of mail locked in a sealed truck that is headed for Canada. It's insane. It comes from Canada. It goes to Canada. But they got to open it.
Well, they got their jurisdiction. And they can do what they want. They
respect their authority.
They are. Usually we would have expected this.
They need
this.
Something to do, you know? They want to go through everybody's mail if they can. I mean,
if they could, yeah. And
it's fun to be nosy.
I think I was along with you guys. I mean, I immediately saw this headline, and I just assumed it was some crazy security war on terror type thing, but no, it's all about the war on drugs. Mm. They are concerned that Canada has now legalized basically recreational marijuana, and it is sometimes sent through the mail, and God forbid a sealed package passes through a postal sorting facility. It doesn't even do that. It's on a sealed truck that simply passes through the United States for what, maybe a half hour, an hour? But they stop every one of these trucks. They open every piece of mail, every package that goes to 800 Canadians on this island just to make sure of what, I don't know. What's their recourse? What do they do? They confiscate
it? Well, maybe they
it?
Just take it and smoke it.
That could be it.
I mean, I can certainly see a personal motivation for this, although I can't see any, public policy motivation that makes any sense at all.
It is absolutely insane.
If it was uranium, I would understand, because, you know, you don't want that passing through the United States and dangerous containers or something, but, you know, weed isn't going to sneak out of the envelope and go get somebody high.
While it's sitting in the back of a Canada Post truck.
Yeah.
It comes in a truck. They're stopping the truck. They're going and doing their searches. But so many packages containing cannabis products have been seized at the border since legalization that Cannabis NB, the only authorized seller of marijuana in the province, has stopped shipping to the island entirely, and a number of other online retailers have followed suit. But that
I've got the great solution to this. This is a great agorist business if you're on the Canadian side of the business, and agorism is basically making money through honest but illegal business. What you do is get yourself a cabin close as you can to the island and buy a drone.
Okay.
And just fly your drone from Canada to the island without passing through the United States and deliver people's ganja for them.
Nice. That would be good. But so many packages containing cannabis products have been seized at the border since legalization of cannabis, Cannabis NB. The only authorized seller of marijuana in the province has stopped shipping to the island entirely. But that hasn't stopped CBP.
Which is the Canadian government, which apparently the U.S. government can't trust.
Right. But that hasn't stopped CBP officials from continuing to inspect. This is U.S. Customs and Border Patrol officers from continuing to inspect Campobello Island's mail.
Well, I mean, why would they stop now?
They've become accustomed to it,
right, so to speak.
Quote, expectations of privacy from the rest of Canada has just don't exist on Campobello, unquote, local engineer Justin Tinker told the Globe and Mail last month. Residents of the island complained of what they were called an invasive and unnecessary practice that they were never before subject to, certainly not on this scale, and say that increased mail inspections are just the latest salvo in a growing feeling of isolation from the rest of the country. Quote, if I want to buy real food, I have to drive all the way to the superstore in Canada, and that means I have to drive through the states to get there,
what
unquote.
A pain.
Victoria Matthews told the Financial Post newspaper earlier this year. Campobello Island residents say that it's time
for
their government.
Changed. I mean, it's been that way. I mean, they have to go through a border checkpoint if they want to go to the grocery store, apparently.
Right. But, of course, it used to be, I'm sure, a painless process to do that. Mm-hmm. Now, what happens if you have a criminal record in Canada and the U.S. doesn't even want to let you in? You're trapped on your island.
Right.
With no groceries.
Well, you can always swim.
Yeah. I got deported from Canada.
Get a dinghy.
Did you?
Yeah, yeah. It was another stupid thing, although this was stupidity on the Canadian. Well, it was tag team stupidity. I stopped at the duty-free store in Detroit on one side of the bridge, and I bought 10 cartons of cigarettes because that was the maximum. And then I drove into Canada to go to the casino. Well, it turns out the maximum they'll let you take into Canada is 2 cartons of cigarettes.
Mm.
So you're supposed to smoke the other 8 in between on the bridge, I guess. But they took my cigarettes, and being who I am, I had to pitch a bitch because, you know, I'm not going to take that lying down. Mm-hmm. So they deported me.
Unbelievable.
Did they take the cigarettes too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that.
I was like, well, if you're deporting me, why don't I take those cigarettes back to the United States? They said, oh, no, you can't do that. They've been in Canada now, eh?
But I bet they, were the Canadian officials very polite, or is that just a stereotype?
They are very polite.
I mean, they were polite as you can be when you're jacking somebody's stuff.
Yes.
I mean, yeah. That's rude.
It's just this idea that, oh, that's all right.
They are very polite because when, like I said, we went over and we tried to cross at Derby Line, and most of it we were able to document, but not the part of actually dealing with the Border Patrol.
Sure.
They demanded that we turn the cameras off or else. But they were very polite about that, and then they were also very polite when they held us for 90 minutes in their whatever bunker or whatever, you know, bureaucracy building it was,
right?
While they did whatever background checks they needed to do on us, mostly me. I was the one that really held everything up, because I've got, you know, a couple misdemeanors on my record, and at least one of them was enough for them to deny me entry. But they took their sweet time doing it.
Sure.
But I gotta tell you, it was a much more pleasant detention than any detention I've ever had. Like, they were super friendly. The other guys that did get through, I was the only one denied. The rest of them got through, the rest of the group of us. And they wanted to go grab some lunch in Stansted, I think was the name of the town. So the border guards actually made a phone call to the local pizza shop just to make sure they were open because it was a Canadian holiday that day. They were very nice.
855 453. We'll have more of Ian's detainment Yelp reviews after this. 855 453. This is Free Talk Live.
Anarchapulco is the world's foremost conference for voluntarist thinkers and activists, held in beautiful Acapulco, Mexico. Share ideas on how to live free and escape the clutches of the state. Their unparalleled lineup of speakers will discuss entrepreneurship, investments, politics, philosophy, health, sustainability, lifestyles, and personal relationships. Stay in a world-class resort and enjoy the sun and beaches. February the 13th through the 16th, visit anarchapulco.com for early bird pricing and 10% off with coupon code FTL.
This is Free Talk Live, 855-453. That is our toll-free number. That's 855-450-3733. In studio, it's Chris.
Indian.
And the nobody formerly known as Rich Paul.
And I wanted to take a moment to tell you about local.bitcoin.com. Bitcoin.com has launched a trading platform at local.bitcoin.com, allowing you to buy and sell Bitcoin Cash via dozens of payment methods like PayPal, Venmo, bank deposit, remittances, or meeting in person with cash. There are no ID requirements to sign up for and use the site, and all communications between buyers and sellers are encrypted, as they should be. Finally, a global trading platform that respects your privacy. Visit local.bitcoin.com to get started trading Bitcoin Cash. That is local.bitcoin.com. And we have been discussing, well, we've been discussing things on the U.S.-Canada border and this island, Campobello Island, which unfortunately they're finding out that they are suffering the effects of living too close to the United States. It's in the Bay of Fundy, which is kind of shared by, I believe, Maine and whatever Canadian province. I'm going to demonstrate my complete ignorance of Canadian geography. But it's close to Maine. And when you send a letter to somebody on Campobello Island from somewhere in Canada, it is going to get close to Campobello, and then it's going to pass into Maine. And then the truck is going to board a ferry that only runs from Campobello Island to Maine, and then the mail will go through. While this truck is waiting for the ferry, U.S. customs officials are detaining it. They are checking it. They are opening packages.
So wait a minute. Where does this ferry come from? Do you have any idea?
As I understand it, the ferry runs between Maine, the state of Maine, and Campobello Island.
Okay, but it looks like there's a road that goes from Maine to Campobello Island. I'm looking at a Google Maps here.
Oh, that's a possibility. Okay, yeah. Then they could be. Then they are detaining, evidently, these mail trucks, I guess, while the mail, Canadian mail, is in the U.S.
Now, can you see how far it is from the island to the mainland of Canada?
Yeah, that's what I was trying to look at here, was to see exactly, you know, what kind of route they have to take. And it appears, I haven't actually done a directions finder yet here, but it looks like St. Stephen, which may be 10 or 15 miles away. So it's a bit of a hike.
Okay.
From the next border crossing point over into the mainland of Canada to Campobello Island. So you kind of got to drive through Maine for a little ways, about maybe 10 or 15 miles. I'll check here.
So it's on the south side of the St. Lawrence Seaway?
I don't know what all these bodies of water are called. There is a body of water here called Passanaquoddy Bay, which it's near there. To the southeast of there, if that means anything to anyone. I doubt many of our listeners have ever. I live in the Northeast. I've never even heard of this place before.
Yeah, and what the residents want from their Canadian government, they want them to begin operating a continuous ferry that will go from somewhere in Canada to Campobello Island, just so they don't have to go into the United States. And so their mail doesn't have to pass through the United States.
Well, on the one hand, as a solution, that makes perfect sense to me. And that's kind of why I was wondering how far north it was to Canada. The thing that doesn't make sense is, why would the Canadian national government do it when the people who live on the island are perfectly capable, one would think, of raising the money to run that ferry as often as they want it to run.
They wanted to live out there.
Nobody else in Canada has any interest in that.
By the way, my estimate was way off here. I was just eyeballing. It is a 50-mile drive from St. Stephen to Campobello Island, almost all of which is in the United States. So about an hour and 15 minutes from one point to the next.
The story continues. Such a project will be expensive. Estimates have put it in the millions of dollars annually, and likely won't get off the ground before the ice on the Bay of Fundy freezes over for the winter ahead. But people living on Campobello Island say the cost would be a small price tag for their privacy. Again, they could do it themselves. Ask government to do it.
Yeah, well, or, now, you know, if you can't afford a ferry, you know, maybe you can do a helicopter, a delivery plane, a manned or unmanned. You know, there's a lot of ways to skin this cat.
Even if it's, you know, once a week or whatever.
Right. And you could argue, I mean, what do you need a whole ferry for? You need a boat, a mail, a Canadian Post, Canada Post mail delivery boat. It just pulls right up to the dock. And this is only like 6 months out of the year, because the rest of the time, the Canada Post trucks can drive to Campobello Island. We're in an area where waterways freeze, and that's what they say here, before the ice in the Bay of Fundy freezes over for the winter ahead. So
I wonder if they could get themselves a snowmobile. People used to drive cars from Detroit into Canada across the frozen Detroit River to bring alcohol back.
Right.
That's I don't know if that's the route that that Grandpa Kennedy used, but I think for some reason it may have been.
Island resident Dale Calder told CBC News, quote, "It's a feeling of violation, I guess. I'd like to suggest that the residents of other cities in New Brunswick think about the packages that they get in the mail today, and if it has been opened by another country's customs agents to determine whether they're entitled to receive that package," unquote. Both the recent re-elected Liberal federal government and New Brunswick's progressive conservative provincial government have signed a willingness to consider a year-round ferry, but neither has committed to funding it yet. Canada's mail service.
Signaled a willingness, not signed.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Canada's mail service, Canada Post, did not respond to Fox News' request for comment on this story, nor did Cannabis NB.
But all of this, by the way, while the United States federal government, I think you guys covered the story last night, they passed, there was a committee at the federal level that,
It was a judicial committee, I believe.
Yeah, they passed, I guess it was a bill to, or you know, initially gave approval to a bill that would remove cannabis from Schedule 1.
Yes. And so if you haven't watched Schoolhouse Rock lately, that it's passed out of committee, which means it has to be voted on by the entire House of Representatives. And if it passes that hurdle, then hopefully there will be a matching bill in the Senate that can then be conferenced.
But
so
I think they
it's
were saying
got a
that,
ways to go.
Yeah, they were saying they didn't expect it to get through the Senate because the Republicans are expected to stand in the way of this for some reason.
Or even come up for a vote. Mitch McConnell may not even allow
it
to hit the floor of the Senate. It's a shame.
Yeah.
It's got strong bipartisan support in the House of Representatives. I mean,
it's a
good... It promises to be a good bill. At least it's, you know, I
Doesn't
read...
Doesn't it create a tax, though?
Yeah, yeah. 5% tax to...
That's not good, though.
Yeah, I know. Of course not. It's, but that's what they're going to do.
Yeah.
That's the price we pay for living in this country. 5% at the least on something that people use to put in their own bodies.
Is it a sales tax that they're talking about, a 5% sales tax? And if so, would that be legal in New Hampshire?
It would probably be an excise tax or a luxury tax or something along those lines. Remember that because there was no constitutional authority for the war on drugs, what they did when they started it was they declared a tax on marijuana, made it illegal to have marijuana without the tax stamp, and then refused to sell the tax stamp to anybody at any price.
Right.
855-450-FREE. We're going to talk about this insanity that is Washington. We're going to talk a little bit, I think, about vaping, something that helped me quit smoking after 35 years. This is Free Talk Live. This is Free Talk Live. 855-450-FREE. That is our toll-free number. That's 855-450-3733. What are you doing July 4th weekend? If you're in New Hampshire, you should join liberty-minded voluntarists, anarchists, and libertarians from June 29th until July 5th for ForkFest 2020 at Rogers Campgrounds in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. ForkFest happens the week after Porcupine Freedom Festival. That is a big festival here, and this will be following it. ForkFest is decentralized, which means no one is in charge. That also means there's no ticket cost. Just reserve your camping RV site or motel room with Rogers Campgrounds from June 29th until July 5th. What better way to celebrate Independence Day than around other freedom-loving activists in the Shire? You can simply relax and go camping with other liberty lovers, or you can create whatever experience or event you'd like others to have. If you're planning an event for ForkFest, be sure to let us know in advance. You can connect with other ForkFesters via the unofficial Telegram chat or the ForkFest forum. Links to those are on the unofficial website, ForkFest.party. That's ForkFest.party. In studio, it's Chris, Ian, and Nobody. We have been talking Canada, and sadly, because some mail passes through the United States briefly, I mean, we're guessing, I mean, maybe for an hour or so it's on U.S. territory. Mm-hmm. That's long enough for custom officials to inspect all the mail inside this truck bound for about 800 people that live on Campobello Island in the Bay of Fundy in Canada. But U.S., now, there might be marijuana in there, so we just can't have that.
They're going to grab as much of that marijuana as they possibly can before it's finally made legal.
Exactly. It's insanity, but also insane is what's been going on around the country and what's going on particularly close to us here in New Hampshire. In the state of Massachusetts, which is the government threatening, well, not threatening, they say promising, but I like your point there. It is, they are promising to threaten people who want to buy something, adults, not even children. Contrary to the news, you can't buy these things, and I'm referring to vaping juices and vaping products and vaping devices. Massachusetts wants to eliminate any chance that any adult could enjoy a flavored nicotine substitute. That's basically what it comes down to.
Well, they got to protect the children. I mean, well, yeah. Children.
And they like cars. They want to jack your car.
They do. Yeah. They're always up to jack anything.
They'll take your boat, they said, too. We did. I think, didn't we cover this story last week? I think it was our show, right? This show?
Not this show. No? But I know what you're talking about.
Okay. Yeah. I thought we were the ones that were covering that last week. Yeah. Maybe it was you and I.
Yeah, I was definitely on, yep. And you were maybe on, it was so Friday. It might have been Friday.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's Massachusetts seizing cars.
Cars, boats, planes, and some say maybe even houses. There's a certain legal term that they use, and I don't have it in front of me right now, but last week we looked at the actual statute or the proposed bill,
right.
And I don't remember the term. It didn't have anything to do with, like, vehicle. It had to do with whatever was containing the vape.
Right.
So if the container was your house,
right,
they could take your house. If the container was your vehicle, and they specifically named vehicle, boat, and plane, they didn't name house, but it said included but not limited to when they were defining what this container legal term could mean. So some could interpret that to mean your house. So
Certainly.
They'll just take whatever it is that they find the vape products in. If they're not, with a receipt that shows that you purchased the product from a legal vendor in Massachusetts.
Papers, please.
Right.
So
and that passed the House.
Papers, vapors.
It passed the state house in Massachusetts overwhelmingly. And the news today is that the same bill or a very similar one has now passed the Senate in Massachusetts. It now heads to the governor's desk for potential, presumably he's going to sign it. He has not said, according to the AP report on this, whether or not that he will sign it. But remember, this is the same governor who stepped up and, you know, on his own volition a couple months ago when the whole vape news thing was starting to really kind of bubble up.
Right.
He was the one who said, we're going to put a temporary ban in place for 4 months or whatever it is, basically through the end of the year. So, I mean, why wouldn't he sign this?
And the amazing thing about this story is that, you know, months ago, when a few people, you know, something under 20 people died as a result of some kind of vaping, we all knew that they were vaping vitamin E acetate and that that was what caused the problem, because
in THC vapes,
right?
Yeah,
illegal
in THC vapes,
yeah. Black market THC vapes,
right? So they overreacted and reacted wrongly,
yeah,
by having this temporary ban in the first place, and now they're just saying, "Well, we already did it, so why not go with it?" You know, if you make a good mistake, just go with it.
This attack on legal nicotine vaping products, I'm going to give you an example of how much sense it makes. Lots of people have died from illegal THC vapes, and these they were using vitamin E acetate as a cutting, mm-hmm. and it's really bad. It causes chemical burns. Therefore, I, your president of the United States, am going to ban cantaloupes. Cantaloupes must be banned.
Why? Because they could fall on you?
Because people are dying of THC vapes, black market THC vapes. Therefore, I'm going to ban cantaloupes. It makes as much sense.
Well, I did have a black market THC vape one time called Cantaloupe Kush.
Oh, wow.
Well, I wasn't talking about banning that one. No, I mean cantaloupes, just the fruits, because that makes as much sense as these states coming up with bans on something that has not demonstrated any harm. What it has demonstrated is about a 95% reduction in harm over smoking cigarettes. And I am so happy that I was able to quit smoking cigarettes. I mean, I didn't think it would ever happen. 35 years, you do anything for 35 years. That's pretty much I'm taking it to the grave.
Your girlfriend also has been cutting back dramatically.
She is down to 3 cigarettes a day.
Down from what, like 2 packs?
About
a pack a day?
A pack a day. And doing some vape, but now she's vaping more. And once she starts, you'll feel differently. You'll, and once that starts kicking in, that'll be all it takes for her. So I'm confident she'll do it.
I did pull up a CNBC story here because the AP story didn't have the vote. CNBC does. 32-6, so another overwhelming support for the ban on vaping products. And again, this is a ban on all flavored products in the state of Massachusetts. It will result in confiscation of vehicles and other devices that might hold the vaping products. They're only going to be able to offer vapes and vape solution or e-juice, whatever you want to call it, that is tobacco flavored, and that will be it. Also, they're going to ban flavored cigarettes as well, so no more menthol cigarettes.
Right. Is that true in the Massachusetts ban?
That is the Massachusetts
as well, because
ban. Yeah.
I think I first heard that mentioned on the federal level.
Yeah,
they have.
And Trump, you know, to a tiny bit of his credit, seems to be backing off his threats against vape users. Is that?
Yes. I have a story about that. Yeah, we haven't covered that one yet.
Okay, we'll come back to that when the time is right.
But the idea that, you know, in my hands, I'm holding a bottle of sweet tobaccochino vaping juice. I use it. And this is what I vape. If I happen to cross the border into Massachusetts, which is what, 25 miles away, ballpark, I would be in violation of state law because I don't have a receipt for this. That's
insanity. Bye-bye car.
Right, yep. And they could seize my car. That's insane.
Ignorance of the law is no excuse.
When I was first in New Hampshire, a friend and I went out to Portsmouth, and we were just driving around, and he had like 3 guns in his car, just in his trunk or whatever, and we're each carrying a sidearm, and he gets on 95 and actually accidentally drives us into Massachusetts.
Felony.
And scary. And so we saw the state line sign, and he was like, I don't know what to do, and I was like, U-turn, cross the median right now, and he did.
Did he really?
We took a beeline across that median and back into New Hampshire.
Crossing Checkpoint Charlie, this is Free Talk Live.
Gold has definitely been on the move recently, and there is no more secure investment historically. McIlvany ICA has been helping people take delivery of precious metals and find storage options for decades. They've helped thousands of investors with their precious metal IRAs. Call ICA today for your free portfolio review at 800-525-9556 or download their free report online at ICAGoldSilver.com to learn how you can double your gold and silver ounces even within an IRA. 800-525-9556. ICAGoldSilver.com.
Free Talk Live.
This is Free Talk Live. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Joining you in studio, it's myself, Chris.
And Ian.
And nobody.
And we want to welcome you to hour number two, because we do 3 hours of radio every day of the year, including coming up on Thanksgiving. Yes, 7 p.m. Eastern to 10 p.m. Eastern. You'll be able to tune in and listen to us. I won't be on. It'll be my first Thanksgiving off in 4 or 5 years, something like that.
All right.
Mark Edge volunteered to take my spot. I thought about it for half a second and said, sure, I'd like to have, I like turkey. I'm just kind of that way. But first, I wanted to tell you about Edge Wallet. A lot of us use it. Edge Wallet is a mobile digital wallet. It's available on iOS and Android. It's how you can hold securely or buy or sell or trade your cryptocurrencies. It's user-controlled, so you own your money. What that means is, you possess the keys to this locked account that only you can access. Nobody else can get into it. There's support for Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, Ethereum tokens, Monero, Ripple, Stellar, and many more. It's a veteran team. They've been building since 2014. They want to help you secure your freedom. You can find out more at edge.app. That's edge.app. And we have been, in the first hour, we talked a lot about Canada and the problems with getting their mail through to Campobello Island without the government opening their mail and inspecting it. Of course, it's not the Canadian government I'm talking about. I'm talking about the U.S. government. This mail has to pass through the U.S. And, yeah, there you go. Just because it's passing through on a truck for about 45 minutes an hour, customs officials feel the need to open every piece of mail and make sure there's no marijuana going from Canada to Canada. It's insanity. We also talked a little bit about the vaping ban that is moving forward in Massachusetts, our neighbor to the south. We are in broadcasting from New Hampshire, and Massachusetts is going to enact this law, this ban on all flavored vapes.
Well, it looks that way. I mean, at this point, they have passed the House and the Senate. Overwhelmingly.
Right.
It is now going to the governor's office, and this particular governor in Massachusetts, apparently named Charlie Baker, is known for having passed anti-smoking, or rather supporting various different crackdowns or whatever on smoking and vaping. So, I mean, it seems like it's almost a given that he's going to support this, but he has not yet indicated one way or the other. However, it did overwhelmingly pass both the House and the Senate. So I'm sure that he's going to look at that and say, well, this is what the people want. It's passed overwhelmingly. So he would stand in the way of history if he were to veto this.
Massholes.
Yep.
Well, it sounds to me like, I mean, we're contemplating a little different business venture. It sounds like we may want to offer vapes, vaping juices and stuff like that at a slight discount if you're from Massachusetts.
If you're from Massachusetts.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we will provide you a documentation to show the cop as you drive back home in Massachusetts that you did buy this from a licensed vendor.
So are you going to get licensed in Massachusetts?
No, if I were selling in New Hampshire, even regardless of where it was purchased, you would have to show papers when you go back home to Massachusetts.
Well, I don't think showing New Hampshire papers would work.
I don't think so either.
My reading of the law.
So they are just everything, no more.
But I'll tell you what I'd love to do is just buy a shack right on the border. you know, at a major freeway and sell it there because, you know, they can't pull over every car that leaves New Hampshire.
Well, they used to back in the day when I first moved here. There was a news story about how they have fireworks stores that were right close to the border. And in Massachusetts, fireworks are illegal in New Hampshire.
Still are.
They're not. So you can buy fireworks legally, most of them, in New Hampshire.
Sure.
And so they actually had their cops, the state police, were staking out the fireworks stores, like binoculars across the border, watching people with mass plates leave the fireworks store and then cook up a reason to pull them over.
Wow.
When they would cross back into Massachusetts. So it's actually a bad idea to have. I mean, if they bring that policy back, from what I understand, they stopped doing that after some amount of time.
Yes.
But if they bring that policy back, then that would result in a lot of your customers likely being harassed unnecessarily. Whereas if you're out of physical sight, then they would actually have to go into New Hampshire and stake out the parking lot. And I don't know if they're allowed to do that. They might be allowed to do that.
I don't know what the result. I know that those laws have been challenged about whether you can spy on someone for law enforcement purposes when they're doing something legally
in another state.
I know they also had a border dispute between New Hampshire and Massachusetts because Massachusetts, of course, has a sales tax. We don't.
Right.
So people were coming up and buying tires in New Hampshire, and for some reason, Massachusetts decided that tires was the place to start. So they, I think they sued this New Hampshire business for not collecting Massachusetts sales tax, and the New Hampshire governor got involved and said, "Yeah, our businesses don't have to do that."
Right. Well, and that's an issue because of the internet sales tax that's federal now. I mean,
what
you have to?
Well, does it exist yet?
Yes, businesses of a certain size, smaller businesses, are exempted from collecting sales tax, including municipal taxes and state taxes and any other tax for other states.
That's okay, so it sounded like you said there was a national sales tax there for a moment. That's not what
you're saying. The federal government enforcing sales taxes across borders. We're going to go to the phones where we got Larry in Indiana. Larry, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Hey, you know, I listened to you guys when you were on here in Indianapolis. But
yes, sir.
The things you're talking about, liberty and all this stuff about freedom and all this stuff, it don't really exist because it's all taken away by due process. And Congress makes due process up, decides what statutes are imposed on us and everything else.
I think that's the opposite of due process, but go ahead.
When I'm talking, you'll see that I'm telling the truth.
Okay.
When you have liberty, property, or anything else that you have, it can be taken away with due process. That's what people don't understand. That nullifies all the so-called rights and privileges and immunities in the Constitution. It really does. The Constitution is nothing.
I don't know if you're using the terms due process appropriately. I mean,
what I'm picking up is he's saying so long as they follow their own rules in the process of
stealing,
taking
your
stuff and kidnapping
you. Look how that is.
Right. I mean, just to set the record straight, generally due process is considered fair treatment through the normal judicial system. Now, certainly the due process can certainly be used to violate people's rights, or it's sort of like a window dressing on the violation of people's rights. But it's supposed to be the idea that, well, you've been treated fairly throughout this violation of your rights and we've followed all our rules. But even as we've seen, they frequently don't follow their own rules, and it doesn't matter because they have to enforce their rules on themselves.
There you go.
So they don't.
Yeah.
Then what's the freedom all about? Because
we don't have it.
Everything that they all the rules they make up can be enforced at the point of a gun.
Right.
So,
we don't
so
have
what
freedom.
Are you talking about?
Nobody
well,
here is saying
if,
we have freedom.
If and when we get freedom, it will be because people said no, and they said no with enough firepower to make it stick. Because all political power, as Mao Zedong said, flows from the barrel of a gun.
Well, what I want to talk about is with all the impeachment hearings going on, I took a time out and listened to some of this foolishness. I wonder what this is a smokescreen for. I wonder what they are doing in the background while they've got everybody looking at the shiny object.
Well, hold on, Larry.
Well, for one thing, Epstein didn't kill himself.
Hold on, Larry. We're going to talk about a little bit about impeachment and some of the other things you brought up. Are we free? Are we not free? Do they play by their own rules and disregard the ones that we have in the Constitution? I think so. 855-450-FREE. This is Free Talk Live. This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. I wanted to tell you about LibertyCon, how to go to Washington, D.C. and not lose your soul. LibertyCon is a Liberty convention. It's going to be April 3rd to the 5th in Washington, D.C. for people who want to network with more than 70 pro-liberty organizations for the purposes of career advancement, business, and internet, internship opportunities. Got a list of incredible speakers, John Mackey of Whole Foods, Conscious Capitalism, he's going to be talking about that, Vernon Smith, who won a Nobel Prize in Economics, Miriam Issa, who is a cultural expert, political commentator, and many, many more. Visit LibertyCon for more details on additional speakers and events, and use coupon code FTL for a $10 discount on your registration. Student travel scholarships are available, and discounted rooms are available for everyone at the Marriott Marquis. Save with early registration at LibertyCon.com. Use coupon code FTL for a $10 discount. In studio, it's Chris.
And I'm Ian.
And I'm Nobody.
And we have been talking about, well, mostly about Massachusetts, but we have a caller who takes issue. I'm just going to bring him back on. Larry, you there?
Hey, are you on like a speakerphone? Because you sound way worse now than you did before.
Okay, that
much
sound
better,
better now.
Much, oh, much yeah. Better.
Okay. Thank yeah. You know, I don't try to act like I know everything, right?
Right.
But for a long time, people have been lulled into a false sense of security as if you have some type of right in a system like we have here in this country from the very beginning. We had no rights. We have none now. So our congressmen and our representatives can do whatever they want to do this. This is why I think it's so dangerous at this time when they're putting up a smokescreen of impeachment, which is a bunch of foolishness, to find out what they are really doing. And when we come through this 2 or 3 years on down the road, while y'all was looking over here, here's what we done. You didn't say anything about it, so shut up and take it. Well, that's what it always leads to.
They've been doing that for years, though.
Yeah,
the difference? This is just the latest distraction.
They have high tech now. They have high tech now. That's the very big difference. And that's why that I don't care where I look nowadays, somebody is nursing an iPhone. I mean, you take an iPhone away from the average person or a whole city, cut their internet out, they're going to be committing suicide out in California when they had... Hey, listen, you think I'm joking? It's not funny.
Oh, I'm not. I'm laughing with you, Larry.
There were a lot of suicides out in California when they had those rolling power outages from people that were living where they weren't supposed to be living. But I'm just dropping one more thing on you.
Okay.
This deal with the heroin substitute, what do they call it?
Suboxone or fentanyl? Methadone?
Not Suboxone, but the other thing that's killing people.
Fentanyl?
Fentanyl?
Fentanyl, yeah. Well, okay. That's an industry in China, and they give their companies tax breaks for producing that and selling it here in our country. That's chemical warfare, because 2 grains of rice the size of that dose will kill you. So I think what we're going to end up doing, they're doing economic warfare on us, because we're going to end up spending all our money on junkies, just like in the city I'm in right now. They have so many programs for the state's getting in on it and everything, and then still passing out needles.
Right.
Still not arresting people to get caught with this dope. And the people that are junkies that are trying to escape it, they get Suboxone or Narcan to prolong their lives and drain our system.
Well,
so
look, Larry, if you're mad about fentanyl, if you're mad about fentanyl, then you ought to blame the federal government for making heroin illegal, because that's what's leading to fentanyl being used as a substitute or a cutting agent or whatever within heroin. Mm-hmm. So if heroin were legal, then the price would be very cheap. It would be very affordable.
I agree with you 100%. Good. And I think if they wanted to get rid of this problem, they talk about El Chapo and El Guzmo or whoever it is. Mm-hmm. All they have to do, they got high tech. They can spot their villas and stuff. They can scrape them with us. I was out in my yard the other day, and a squadron of F-15s flew over.
They were looking for you, Larry.
I know, but they did fly over. They were from some parade or something. But that's so powerful that if you send incendiary devices, say we give you 2 minutes to get out of your villa, buddy, and we're going to strike you with these F-15s.
Hey,
they
will start
selling dope. I guarantee it.
Just make it legal. That's the point. Then you don't have to kill anybody.
But the junkies that are out there now to clean their stuff up.
Right.
And take all the profit out and all the backbiting and foolishness out of it.
It won't take all the profit out of it if you make it legal. If you make it
it'll take a lot of the profit out of it because as Milton Friedman pointed out, the role of the government from an economic point of view is to protect the drug cartel.
Sure.
And you know, people say, well, what do you mean protect them? You know, you're arresting them and you're seizing some of their stuff here and there, but they're protecting them from competition. So only the people who have the courage to go into the drug business and have the ability and willingness to project enough force to defend their pile of money are in that business. It would be a lot less profitable if they were not getting cartel profits courtesy of the U.S. government.
Yeah, and if the cartels weren't recipients of basically what amounts to U.S. foreign military aid, they are they're waging a war here, which keeps demand up. They are doing very little. They can't do anything to stop. They can't stop the flow of drugs. They can't even stop the flow of drugs.
Well, there are
U.S.
soldiers standing around in Afghanistan in poppy fields, and they're not doing anything about those poppy fields. So could they stop it? I don't know, but they're not trying very hard. They don't seem to want to stop it.
I know prohibition doesn't work.
Prohibition does not work.
Right.
And really, even if they burned the poppy fields in Afghanistan, they just start growing the poppies someplace else.
But cartels end up being enriched no differently than the Kennedy family was enriched by the prohibition on alcohol.
Yep.
I mean, that was a direct result. And not saying that we shouldn't have done that because it made Kennedys rich. It's just you're not going to get the expected results that you think you are. You're not going to get reduced usage. You're going to get more dangerous usage. You're going to get bathtub gin and fentanyl. Yep. Those are going to be the results that come out of this thing. And I rail against this stuff every time I'm on. The war on drugs is the root cause of so many of the problems we face here in America. Not drugs, the war on drugs.
For sure.
Yeah.
Even the addiction itself, one of the things that allows people to get addicted and think they're going to be okay is seeing these dealers strutting around with a big pocket full of money, you know, and they think, well, I'll just make money being in this business and then it'll be okay. Well, of course, that doesn't usually work out long term.
We're going to talk a little bit about other types of prohibition and how they fail, too. This is Free Talk Live.
Bitcoin.com has launched a trading platform at local.bitcoin.com, allowing you to buy or sell Bitcoin Cash via dozens of payment methods like PayPal, Venmo, bank deposit, remittances, or meeting in person with cash. There are no ID requirements to sign up for and use the site, and all communications between buyers and sellers are encrypted. Finally, a global trading platform that respects your privacy. Visit local.bitcoin.com to get started trading Bitcoin Cash. Local.bitcoin.com. Yeah!
This is Free Talk Live, 855-453. That is our toll-free number. That's 855-450-3733. You can also hit us up on Discord. Just load the Discord app on your computer, on your mobile device. Use your high-speed internet connection and your quality microphone, and you will sound like you are in the studio with us. It's pretty impressive. You can find out more at discord.freetalklive.com. But first, I want to tell you, you've heard us talking about the cryptocurrency Divi. The next generation wallet is coming from Divi. In just a few taps, you'll be able to spend, earn, store, and exchange digital money in seconds. Divi says you'll be able to send money around the globe with only a swipe and instantly exchange between Divi, Bitcoin, and fiat currencies right in the mobile app and withdraw directly to your bank account. There's no need to wait, though, as Divi already offers the first one-tap solution for earning passive income with their multi-tiered masternodes, allowing anyone to earn by supporting the Divi network. When the new Divi wallet launches, because of Divi's relationship with Western Union, Divi will be in 200 countries, including the United States. You can learn more at DiviProject.org. That's DiviProject.org.
See, that sounds really interesting in having that connection to Western Union. The hardest thing about selling cryptocurrency is collecting the money and getting it back to where you are. So if there's a way to actually buy it by dropping off money, I assume, at Western Union, I'm assuming what their relationship with Western Union is going to be, but that would be a huge improvement for a lot of people who have to go through sketchy things to get cryptocurrency, because the banks just... I've had two bank accounts closed already. PayPal, Venmo, and Cash App have all cut me off.
Right. Just for selling cryptocurrency.
Yeah. Actually, Cash App hasn't cut me off. They just jacked $300 out of my
account
one day. No, they didn't close it. It's still open. If I want to trust them, I can try it again.
I thought they hit you for $750. Or was that something else?
That was somebody else.
Oh, okay.
That was Zelle.
Oh, Zelle.
Yeah, that was through the TD account.
Well, we'll see.
Legendary.
We'll see what happens with, the IRS has you know, again announced, just to clarify, or FinCEN announced, just to clarify, if you sell anyone over $3,000 worth of cryptocurrency, we expect you to have a complete Know Your Customer program in place. I mean, the law hasn't changed. I mean, it's been what it's always been. We just want to clarify that we expect this from everyone who sells cryptocurrency, regardless.
Well, I'd like to see how it is I became obligated to follow their rules.
Right. We're going to go to the phones, where we've got Otis calling from Mississippi. Otis, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I wanted to talk about women's pants. So about 15 years ago, I was walking around and they ain't got no holes in them. But now they, by gosh, you just look at a woman's pants, and especially them young women, they got holes all up and down the front of their jeans.
Okay.
It's one of the most ingenious marketing things I've ever thought. I mean, I think them people thought of. If them jeans are going to be full of holes, then they got to buy new ones pretty soon. You know, what I'm talking about?
I hate those things, I just want to say. And it's not just a women's jeans thing. There was some amount of time, some number of years, I don't know if it's still a fashion thing, but even men's jeans came pre-holed, basically, where it was very difficult to find a pair of jeans that didn't have holes in them when you bought them.
And the worst part is you're paying full price for
That's
them.
Right.
I ain't understanding that.
More price. You pay more for them. Those holes are cut by a designer.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They're plum premium right there. And then they may as well have been wearing short pants instead of doing that. But anyways, I was just making an observation, want to share.
Well, I appreciate it.
Thanks, bro.
Great call. Right, holy jeans.
Holy jeans.
I hate them.
Holy moly.
Well, we've been all over the board, so where shall we go?
We can talk more about vape stuff here.
I would like to talk about that, Trump, because it just infuriates me.
Well, I've had this in my show prep all week and just haven't had a chance to get it out there yet. But, you know, as you know, a few months ago, Donald Trump had indicated that he was concerned about his son, who is a teenager.
Poor Barron.
And that I guess Barron had been maybe talking about vaping or indicating.
He had seen children at school who vape. That was the whole thing that got Melania all upset.
Right? Quick, somebody panic.
Pass a law, or in this case, just create a regulation. Or, they didn't even have to pass a law.
And let's wipe out an entire industry while we're at it. Entire industry of pretty much small businesses. No big deal. That's what you elected us
for.
We're
I think
small
that's
government.
Part of the plan, though, is they want to wipe out an industry of small businesses so that market can be taken over by the tobacco giants.
That's probably true.
Or other cronies.
They were late to the game in vaping, but they finally got their own vape products.
Right.
The big tobacco companies, Philip Morris and those others. So I've got a couple stories here. One of them is Vox.com, just kind of a summary of what happened, and then another, the Los Angeles Times, with an editorial piece whining about Trump reversing direction on this. The federal ban was supposed to prohibit sales, this is Vox.com, of flavored e-cigarettes, including, you know, whatever flavors are out there, with the exception of tobacco. And then on November 4th, the night before a planned news conference, Trump refused to sign off on the ban, reportedly over fears that it could cause people to lose their jobs. Yeah, the vape shop, one of the vape shops here in town, is apparently closing, from what I hear.
That's what he had indicated, yeah.
And that's not because of the federal controls. That's because the city of Keene restricted sales to only people over 21.
Well, his response, what he, in a letter to his employees, he said it's because of the coming federal ban.
Oh, really?
Yes. So hopefully he'll reverse course on that.
Oh, wow. I noticed when I drove by, there were signs up in his window. It said something about government, but I drove, you know, I was driving, so I couldn't really look. There were like three handwritten whiteboards that were up in his window. So I'm curious to what that message was.
Yeah. And the thing is, in practice, I don't think this is going to be as big a deal as people think it is, because if they're not banning the unflavored version of these, because you can get it with no flavor at all in it. Flavor is something that has to be added.
Well, no.
So if they're not banning the unflavored, you could then add whatever flavor you wanted.
Right,
to
but not everybody's a chemist. Not everybody wants to.
They're
monkey
not a hobbyist.
Right. And like I
for
would
the same reason
well,
most people don't
want
grow
the
their
convenience.
Own weed, but they don't grow their own weed, right? Like most people who smoke cannabis just buy it. And the same thing's true of people who use vapes. Yeah, sure, they could. I remember we went to there was a Social Sundays years ago here. It's a local libertarian meetup that we have in town, and it happened at a bar where at the same time they were having like the New England Vaping Association meetup, and there was these clouds of vapor as all these vapers had come into this bar to kind of have their little hangout meetup thing. And one of the things they were doing was they had like a table where these people were like mix mastering these things. They like were tweaking their mixes of different flavors together, and that's their hobby. That's what they're into, and it's probably a very small portion of the overall vaping population that does that stuff.
If they would have gone through with a full ban on flavors, I would have become, you know, Walter White in Breaking Bad. I would have been in my RV in the desert coming up with new
in your
vaping
underwear.
In
you
my
see,
underwear.
They can't ban the flavors because it's the same artificial flavor that they put in soda pop, that they put in artificial popcorn butter, if you're getting the butter-flavored stuff.
Do they have that? Do they have butter-flavored vape?
Well, generally, if you have, if you're using butter flavor in vape, I think it would probably be mixed with other flavors. But, you know, for example, you could make butter pecan if you wanted to. I don't know if that's a flavor they do.
I'm sure somebody's given it a try.
So we'll talk more about what, you know, Trump reversing course on this and what's coming next.
And the point is the government has no federal, no constitutional grounds to ban something like vapes. They don't even have moral grounds because it wasn't hurting anyone. It was helping people. 855-450-FREE. This is Free Talk Live. This is Free Talk Live. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Good nutrition is key to looking and feeling great. However, eating right all the time can be a challenge. Travel and work schedules can get in the way, or you may not have the desire or time to shop and cook the right foods. Balance of Nature has the solution. With just three of the Balance of Nature fruit capsules and three of their veggie capsules, you get 10 servings of fruits and vegetables, and that is a whole lot of nutrition. For a limited time, you can get free shipping plus a free set of fruits and veggies. Go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code FTL. That is balanceofnature.com. In studio, it's Chris.
Ian.
And nobody.
And we have been talking about vaping. And
we talk about that a lot.
Potential
on Thursday nights.
Yeah, we do. Go figure, because...
But you guys are both active vapers.
I am. And I thank God for vaping. I think it's the... No one, if you've never been a tobacco, if you've never been addicted to cigarettes, you cannot imagine how difficult it is to even contemplate giving them up. It's most people just don't, and I'll just smoke till the day I die. I was able in a matter of weeks to switch over to vaping, and I've been cigarette free for over a year. I'm not breathing burning smoke anymore. Vaping represents a 95% reduction in harm over the bad habit I had.
And now,
so thankful.
Do you notice? Because I remember hearing from people who had a real bad cigarette habit that when they quit smoking cigarettes, and this wasn't when they replaced it with vaping, but just when they quit smoking cigarettes, after a few weeks, you kind of get over the withdrawal symptoms, and then they told me that they would hack up. They would be coughing in the shower, and they'd hack up black goo or whatever, or something like that.
I've never had anything like that.
No, okay.
Never had that. But I have quit a couple times in the past, once through hypnosis. And for about 5 years after I had quit smoking that time, I would still, at least 2-3 times a week that I remember, have a dream where I was sitting in a bar, and I would reach down and pull a cigarette out and light it. And then realize, oh my God, I quit smoking. Well, I can still smoke this one. I'll just finish this one. I'll be done. Every year, for 5 years, I had that dream. That's how addictive it is.
It's I used insanity. To have dreams like that when I first started going to AA.
Really?
About doing other things. Yeah, I remember once waking up and thinking, oh God, I relapsed last night. I've got to call my sponsor. And
but it was just a dream.
Realizing that that couldn't have been real because it didn't fit with, I don't know what part of the circumstances didn't fit, but I eventually
something
realized
about
that, no, that was a dream. That didn't actually happen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is it easier for you to breathe now? Do you notice any?
Oh God, yes.
Anything like that?
Yeah, yeah. I can definitely tell the difference. And that just took a matter of weeks, and I began to feel better. I could breathe better. I could, routinely coughed. I mean, that was just part of my thing.
Every day.
Every day.
Constantly.
Yeah. And, you remember how I used to be. I would be constantly hitting that cough button all day. And now I almost never cough unless I'm hitting a bull.
Right.
Right.
Which you've cut back on too. You were telling me.
And I don't generally do it on mic, but...
Yeah. Okay, so we were talking about the ban that was purported at the federal level. Trump had promised to do this, and now a lot of people are upset. I'm sure a lot of people are really happy as well, because he apparently has backed away from that promise. According to Vox.com, the night before a planned press conference about the ban, Trump refused to sign off on it. Apparently over fears that it could cost people their jobs and could cost him votes among vape supporters, according to the Washington Post that broke the story. Trump was also swayed by protests against the ban and a social media movement, #IVapeIVote, in which e-cigarette advocates argued the ban could cause or could boost smoking rates and harm businesses. Meanwhile, pressure from tobacco and vaping industry lobbyists didn't help, including a poll commissioned by none other than the vaping industry showing repercussions at the polls for Trump in battleground states, according to the New York Times.
Nice. Mm-hmm. I use that hashtag about every day for the last couple months.
Mm-hmm.
And just every tag, tagging Donald Trump and saying, I vote, I vape. Mm-hmm. I'm glad to see that was effective.
And do you just post that by itself, or do you include like a news story?
Oh, no, we didn't expect you to be another nanny stater. Mm. You know, just comments
right.
like that. And
yeah,
this
see,
is
I was really
party
disappointed.
Of small government. Right.
Because this is one area where the Republicans are generally supposed to be good. You
right.
know, states' rights first, because there's no constitutional authority for the federal government to tell states whether or not to tolerate vaping. And also the small government perspective. So I was really disappointed in Trump that he, which, you know, many times I've been very disappointed in Trump, but I was very disappointed that he took up this vaping mantra, and I'm glad that he has come to his senses and is no longer supporting this mess, at least at the federal level.
I hope so, too. It's just a travesty. And then to rely on the FDA to be the regulatory agency.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you. Do you know where the FDA came from? What administration put the FDA in? Let me think.
Wasn't
Teddy
it?
Roosevelt. Hmm. That's right.
So
a
it was
Republican.
Like 1905, maybe?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Wow.
Brought to you by a Republican president, revered by his peers. Yes.
Great. That one was, that Roosevelt was Republican?
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
Yes.
I didn't
Before
realize
Before
he
Bull
that.
Moose or something?
Eventually, when he couldn't later. Get the nomination for the Republicans, he ran under the Bull Moose Party.
And didn't he go back and run again as a Republican after that?
Attempted to, but then he died. So, yeah, problem solved.
Good riddance.
Yeah.
Do you want to hear the other side?
Yeah.
Of this?
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Los Angeles Times.
Oh, here we go.
They are mad about this. The editorial published yesterday by the entire editorial board, faced with the troubling outbreak of a mysterious vaping-related illness. And it's not so mysterious anymore.
It's not.
You know,
and it's not vaping-related so much as THC vaping-related.
So much as black market THC vaping-related.
Or we could just say vitamin E acetate vaping-related, right. Which has never been like a commonly used ingredient in vapes.
No, it's a cutting agent, right? That's what I was reading.
Yeah, and it seems like one guy just said, well, vitamin E, what can it hurt?
Sounds good.
Yeah.
And,
sounds
you know,
safe.
It's vitamins. It's good
right.
for you. And threw that stuff in because, you know, people vaped for decades before there was the first case
right.
of somebody getting sick from a vape.
And it's a good, we should really stress that this was due to the improper use of vitamin E acetate. Which is fine. There's nothing wrong with vitamin E acetate. They use it in hand lotions. There's nothing wrong with
it. But you're not inhaling that.
They use it in food. It's okay to use it in food. It's okay to ingest vitamin E acetate. What it's not cool to do is burn it and inhale the fumes of it.
Well,
that's
technically
the difference.
You don't burn
or
it when
heat
you
it
vaporize.
Up. Yeah, vaporize but, it or heat right. it up and inhale those fumes. That's the problem. Yeah.
And apparently it's just the liquid accumulates in the lungs and causes problems for some reason. People can't take it in.
But they tried to use this to, you know, demonize nicotine, but by the same extension, they're trying to demonize THC.
Right.
So it's not like anybody ever died of a THC overdose.
Yeah.
So I want to be careful when we talk about that to stress that this is a bad additive.
Well, the thing is, once there are white markets for THC vapes that aren't outrageously expensive, this whole problem goes away because people aren't going to buy things when they can't trace the supply chain.
Right.
So, you know, you do have to wonder, Did the LA Times miss that news about the vitamin E, THC
apparently
thing? Because that's, you know, they're not mentioning it in this story, and it comes up again here in just a moment.
Oh,
so Trump announced in September that they would pull the flavored electronic cigarettes from the market, possibly within weeks. People are dying, said the president at the time. In a televised news conference with heads of the FDA and the Department of Health and Human Services, he promised quick action. And the Times says he was right to do so. We'll tell you more about it coming up.
God. He is not right to do so. You got to quit looking to Washington to fix things, because Washington never fixes things. It makes them worse, and your freedom suffers. 855-450-FREE. This is Free Talk Live.
Ever wanted to hook up with an attractive woman, but you couldn't because you were already in a monogamous relationship? Ever wanted to work when you wanted to work instead of having to report to an office when you would rather have done something else? There's another way to live. I'm Caleb Jones, and my staff and I have taught hundreds of thousands of men how to create low-work, high-income businesses and how to date women under your terms. Go to freelifeinfo.com to download 7 free books and podcasts so you can live a life like this too.
Free Talk Live.
This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Hour number 3, because we do 3 hours of radio, whether you like it or not. Now, I hope you like it. We like it, and we like talking about the issues, but I also like to take this time to thank Brett Perry. Brett is a gold amplifier. Brett has made it a commitment to pledge $10 a month to Free Talk Live to our AMP program. What is our AMP program? AMP stands for Advertise, Market, and Promote. AMP helps us get on more radio stations so people can hear the ideals of liberty. And we thank you, Brett. I really appreciate it. In studio, it's Chris.
And Ian.
And nobody.
And we have been talking vaping, and the LA Times is not happy that Donald Trump changed course. He said he was going to ban all flavors and keep those out of the hands of Barron, his son, but he changed his mind. He figured it was a combination of things. He looked at the job numbers and realized that he was about to wipe out a industry. And secondly, a lot of his supporters, or people who said they would support him, let him know via social media. For Trump, that means Twitter, that I vote I vape, hashtag I vote I vape, was a huge thing, and gladly
got his attention, apparently.
Got his attention, we hope. But Ian, you've been talking about this LA Times editorial.
Oh yeah, they're wringing their hands. They're mad about this.
Oh dear.
I wonder if they're mad about this, or if they're just mad that it's Trump. Somebody was suggesting that Trump should come out in favor of impeachment so the Dems would have to oppose it.
Right.
People are dying, the president said. This is the editorial piece from the LA Times. During a televised news conference with the heads of the FDA and Department of Health and Human Services, he promised quick action, and he was right to do so, says the Times. At that point, 6 people had died from the new illness, and hundreds more had been hospitalized with severe lung damage. An alarming number of the victims were young adults or teens who said they used vaping devices for both cannabis and nicotine. Since then, 44 people have died, and more than 2,000 people have been sickened.
And no one, they have come up with no conclusive proof that nicotine vaping was involved.
In any of it, right?
Yeah, nicotine, they've confessed that it wasn't. Like a week or 4 days ago or something,
CDC
announced they'd made a breakthrough. And it was actually vitamin E acetate,
right,
which, of course, I told my mom that a month ago.
Right. I read it after I read the Vice story about it, and that was one of the first ones that came out.
But the interesting thing, and this is why people say that the media is the enemy of the people. Well, the media is certainly the enemy of the truth, because every media outlet was burying the problem in the bottom of the article,
right,
where people wouldn't say it. They'd at the end they'd say, oh, and by the way, it was THC vapes with vitamin E acetate. If they mentioned that at all.
Yeah. Right.
But we all knew it.
Well, they're not mentioning it so far in this story here. They're acting as though that it's all vapes that are causing these issues here. So the Trump's plan, reportedly urged by his wife and eldest daughter, was a good one, they say. And, in parentheses, a rare smart move on public health policy from an administration better known for dismantling environmental protections.
Snark anyone?
Never mind that it wasn't a perfect answer to the current crisis. Even then, the vaping illness was suspected to be primarily caused by, black market vaping devices modified for cannabis or THC.
But they don't start out with that. I mean, what they should have started with, an opening sentence, would have been something like, and they could have spun it anti-Trump.
Sure.
They could have said, hey, a bunch of people died from vaping vitamin E acetate, and this idiot Trump decided to ban something completely different that
nicotine,
had nothing
right.
to do with it. They could have kept their anti-Trump spin.
Right.
They just would have had to give up their anti-freedom spin.
So they do admit here, in parentheses, health officials are now pretty sure that's what's causing the illness, talking about the vitamin E oil. But to their credit, it is the third paragraph down. So
it's not down in the bottom like it used to be. That's good.
But it's moved up to the third paragraph.
But a ban on flavored e-cigarettes is still good public health policy, they say. Vaping use among minors has grown precipitously in recent years, doubling in just the last 2 years to about a quarter of all high school seniors, studies show. But doesn't that mean that they're doing that instead of smoking cigarettes? Because didn't it used to be like a quarter or a third of high school seniors who smoked cigarettes?
That's the whole thing. What they're not reporting is the precipitous decline in tobacco smoking, which is truly documented danger.
Right.
So really, if you want to tell the full story here, what we should have is a graph showing the level of nicotine use
dropping.
From either. Nicotine use
probably remaining somewhat
probably
steady.
Is staying about constant.
Okay.
And then just the percentage of nicotine users who choose to vape instead of smoking cigarettes.
Right.
And that, I think, is what's been growing.
Sure. I would agree with that.
They say here that nearly 80% of teens who vape say they did so because of the flavors. And even if they aren't using the aftermarket products associated with the vaping illnesses, the high levels of nicotine in electronic cigarettes hook users quickly, and nicotine use presents its own health risks.
Tell me, what health risks do they list?
I don't know. I don't think they get into that. Because nicotine isn't the cancer-causing agent in cigarettes.
No, and there are, nicotine... It gets demonized, but nicotine, it is addictive. I'm here to tell you, it's addictive. But it also is being investigated as a possible use to help people with Parkinson's disease.
Really?
Mm-hmm. People with Alzheimer's. There are all these things that nicotine does affect your brain. They're investigating all the different ways, and not all the ways are all bad.
See, I always thought that the reason that I was attracted to both caffeine and nicotine from a very young age is that, I had ADD, which wasn't diagnosed until I was 25. But I could tell that my brain worked better when I had some stimulants in it.
Sure.
And there's nothing intrinsically wrong with nicotine. It's a delivery system that was killing people.
Sure.
There was also, they say, a solid precedent for the move Trump proposed. In 2009, the FDA prohibited the makers of traditional cigarettes from using flavors other than menthol because of their appeal to kids. Public health officials say the ban on flavors was a main factor in teens losing interest in cigarette smoking. What?
Morons! Morons! They moved to vapes. Well, can you hear me in Los Angeles, you idiots?
How many kids did you know growing up, young people that were smoking cigarettes, were smoking grape flavored cigarettes or some other flavored form of cigarettes?
They were.
I don't know anybody of any age who ever smoked any of that garbage. I never even heard of it.
And
until
it was
now.
Like a thing for like a year tops. And then
Angel Clark had me bring grape flavored cigarettes down to Mexico for her a couple of years ago.
Interesting. I just don't remember.
I'd never heard of
them
before then.
That sounds vile.
I remember clove cigarettes. I mean,
I don't even like weed flavored cigarettes. This, wow.
That's so insane. They say that cigarette smoking among teens fell to an all-time low in 2018.
Why not celebrate that instead of trying to demonize
it?
Everything?
Seemed possible that Trump's ban would go into effect. Vaping isn't the political third rail that guns are, and it's not as complicated, controversial, or fraught as, say, immigration or Middle East policy. Who other than the companies that profit from hooking people on this addictive but non-essential product could find fault with a move to protect the nation's children from potential harm?
People who enjoy it, and if the price of your crotch goblins is that my freedom has to be taken away, that I'm doing everything I can to get all you bastards neutered.
Unbelievable. 855, 453.
I'm just thinking about what a crotch goblin is. That's a new one for me.
There you go. Talking vapes, we are talking bans, and we're talking about the LA Times, at least, is
they got
really
more.
Angry.
Yeah, they got more.
This is Free Talk Live. This is Free Talk Live. 855-453. That is 855-450-3733. You can also hit us up on Discord. Just load the Discord app. Use your high-speed internet connection and your quality microphone, and you will sound like you are in the studio with us. The us in studio tonight is Chris.
And Ian.
And nobody from electnobody.com.
And Ian is regaling us with a completely hysterical... Oh, I'm sorry. No, this is an editorial from the LA Times. It's just comical.
Which is hysterical.
It is comical.
They are in hysteria.
How many errors in this editorial on the vaping ban, and it's literally every sentence. So please, I want to hear more.
Yeah, well, they've got more. They're really upset that Trump changed his mind because they want to save the children from flavored vapes that could save them from cigarettes. They'd rather young people go back to smoking cigarettes, because they don't think that they think that by banning flavored vapes that's going to somehow stop people from using nicotine.
It's really kind of amazing. When you think about it, they say, well, 10% of people smoke Marlboros, so if we ban Marlboros, 10% of the people will stop smoking.
Right.
They won't be able to get Marlboros anymore. That's not how any of this works.
Eureka.
Right. And, I mean, how hard is it to figure this stuff out over how many decades of prohibition not working and creating the opposite of the intended consequences? People still haven't learned the lessons yet. They still think they can just wave the magic wand of government and make these things just go away and change people's behavior.
Well, we're assuming that these are honest morons. And what they probably are, in fact, is lying tyrants. Anne Rand talked about this kind of law when she said, we don't pass these laws to be obeyed, Mr. Reardon. We pass them to be broken. No, you cannot rule innocent men. The only power any government has is to crack down on criminals. Well, if your society doesn't produce enough criminals,
you make
more. Right. You pass so many laws that a man can't turn around without breaking one of them. And then you cash in on the fear.
And I do care about children. I'm a vapor and I'm a former smoker and I care about kids. I don't want to see kids getting hurt. The last thing I want to see is a ban on flavors that creates a black market for vapes of good flavors and somebody out there decides to, I just want to profit a little bit more. What's that stuff I can use to cut it with? Vitamin E acetate. I'm going to do my nicotine vapes with vitamin E acetate because I'm black market and nobody's coming after me. They're not going to be able to catch me anyway. You know, and then you end up with children really being harmed by it. That's what you create.
Well, the funny thing about this is, you know, you talk about children. I don't consider teenagers to be children. They're young people. They're young adults. And there was a story here recently in our very own Keene, New Hampshire, that got some national level coverage where a young man, age 15, was allegedly, he says he wasn't, but allegedly he was using a vape in the bathroom inside the high school here in Keene. And so on one hand, you've got all these do-gooders saying, we got to protect the children. Teenagers are vaping. We got to stop this. Well, I got news for you. It's the police who are going to be the ones who stop teenagers from vaping. And in this case, this cop tackled this young man, oh, like a running tackle,
insane,
as this guy just sort of saunters out of the bathroom. He was trying to get away from the cop who had confronted him in the bathroom. He walks out of the bathroom. From behind, the cop just runs into him and takes him to the ground over vaping. So first, they don't want to hurt the kids, but then they want to hurt the kids in order to stop hurting the kids.
Right. We had to burn the village in order to save it.
Yeah, it's insanity.
It is
classic
crazy.
Classic government thinking.
And I've been in touch with that young man, by the way, and I'm hoping he sounds like he wants to challenge the ticket in this particular case. He says he doesn't think the cop has any actual evidence because he didn't have a vape on him. He claims the cop says that he tried to flush the vape in the urinal, which, of course, wouldn't have worked because it's a urinal. Mm-hmm. Which is why he wouldn't have tried to do that, because it's a urinal. So,
and if he did try it, the cop would have been able to pull it out of the urinal,
right,
because that's not how urinals work.
Right, so right, there should be a vape in evidence in this case, and he says there isn't. So it's going to be an interesting case if he actually does take it to court. You know, and it seems like his parents may be behind him on this. So if that's the case,
so.
I want to try to encourage him to let a camera into the courtroom, because even though it's a juvenile case, we know from my ex-girlfriend who took a ticket to trial in Jaffrey, New Hampshire. She got I think it was like a speeding ticket or something like that. And I encouraged her at the time, hey, let's take this thing to trial. Let's see if they'll, you know, put a trial on for a juvenile case. We get a camera in there, and we were able to do it. Mm-hmm. So as long as the victim, the person who's being targeted, even though they're a juvenile, they still have the right to a trial.
Right.
And they still have the right to...
They have a right to, specifically, constitutionally, to a speedy and public trial.
Exactly. Even though most juvenile trials, by default, are not public, you cannot go and observe a juvenile trial. You cannot record a juvenile trial, but if they want people in there, then I don't think that they can be stopped from having that.
And there have been a few Supreme Court cases through the years that young people have stood up for their, you know, it was Tinker. I can't remember who the complainant was. It had to do with dress codes. And this was back in the 60s. Kids went to school wearing black armbands in protest of the Vietnam War. Mm-hmm. And this became an issue because they said it was disruptive, and, well, they just said they can make their dress code any way they want. The Supreme Court pretty much said that just because you're under a certain age doesn't mean, or you go to a public high school, doesn't mean you don't have your rights.
Yeah.
And that's,
yes,
that's one of those things that's
And they've chipped away at that decision somewhat since, in dress codes and in other things, but in theory, but it still is, they haven't chipped away at it that far, I think. That would be actually nice if kids started wearing armbands to school to protest the, seven wars that we've got going on now, if you count the drug war?
Well, the Tinker decision was pretty clear. They can't do it, so what the administration's come up with is some new way of saying, well, it was disruptive. You know, we have, based on this, this, and this, and then they'll use a tried and true method to portray their defense of the act instead of being under Tinker. So it's just government bureaucracies know how to get around the rules, just like everybody else.
So the LA Times critiques Trump for reversing course and not signing what they call a decision memo out of concern that it could lead to job losses and be used against him during the re-election. They say this is just another example of Trump's tendency to say one thing and then do another. Such was the case when he said he would support sensible gun controls, such as closing loopholes on background checks after a particularly bad run of mass shootings, but then flip-flopped after strong words from the NRA. Or when the president said his administration would stop separating families at the border and continued to do it anyway. Or when he abandoned a highly touted proposal to reduce drug prices by blocking a practice that benefits drug-buying insurance middlemen. We could do this all day.
I thought they were going to point out, this is like Trump saying he's actually for people's rights. 855 450 free. This is
the next generation wallet is coming from Divvy. In just a few taps, you'll be able to send, earn, spend, and exchange digital money in seconds. Send money around the globe with only a swipe. Instantly exchange between Divvy, Bitcoin, and fiat right in the mobile app and withdraw directly to your bank account. Divvy already offers the first one-tap solution for earning passive income with crypto. Multi-tiered masternodes allow everyone to partake in the network. Visit Divvy Project.org. DivvyProject.org.
This is Free Talk Live, 855-453. That's 855-450-3733. That's our toll-free number. That's the number for you to call and let us know what's on your mind, what's important to you. Call us up and tell us what we should be talking about. We've been talking about vaping, and this is it's just been a giant mess as someone who is a vapor. I like it because it allowed me to quit cigarettes. But Trump came out and said, I'm going to ban all flavored vapes. This is going to happen, and we're going to do it, and we're going to put a plan together. And then he came out a few days ago and said, well, it turns out I'm going to lose votes, and I guess people will lose jobs too. So we're not going to do that. Meanwhile, the people in the White House...
And let's take a moment and say... Hey, thank you to a president who at least when he said something really stupid actually backed off that stupid statement instead of saying, oh, well, I said I was going to do this horrible, stupid thing, so I have to do it,
Double down, though
I now realize it's a bad idea, which apparently the LA Times would have preferred.
Right, but... Trump's White House is also coming out saying, well, when he said he wasn't going to do the ban that he promised, that we're still looking at it. We're still going to come.
There's a potential reversal of a reversal here.
This is from USA Today. White House restarts vaping talks after American Medical Association calls for a total ban. This actually came out late last night.
Wow.
Does that mean including all vape everything? Or what what are they calling for here? Total ban of what?
Well, they must be making a lot of money off the cancer. I mean, who makes money when you get cancer? The doctors do.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? And these are the same people who forced medical schools to cut their enrollment by 17% 20 years ago because there was going to be a glut of doctors, too many doctors, and thereby created the doctor shortage that we're suffering through now. So the AMA is an enemy of the public health and has been for centuries.
Washington. President Trump denounced plans to restart talks over potential bans or restrictions on vaping Wednesday after the American Medical Association and the state of New York put vaping companies on notice that they would push ahead on Tuesday. More than 2 months after saying he would ban flavored vaping products other than menthol and tobacco and facing heavy opposition, the White House announced a meeting would be held with industry and advocate groups Friday. Washington spokesman, White House spokesman Judd Deere said Trump would meet with people representing advocacy, industry, nonprofits, medical associations, and state officials. Quote, as the president has said, note when he wasn't saying something else, as the president has said, there is a serious problem among our youth and their greatest addiction to
growing addiction
to e-cigarettes, unquote, Deere said. Quote, the policymaking process is not stalled. It continues to move forward, unquote.
Ooh.
Yeah, so, you know, so don't stop protesting. The people in the Republican Party, the party of small government, as they intend to micromanage and nanny state you.
So this big meeting is supposed to happen tomorrow.
Tomorrow. The meeting will give the administration a chance to hear from, quote, a large group representing all sides as we continue to develop responsible guidelines that protect the public health and American people.
Look, this is, that's, we're not talking about guidelines here. Whenever it's the government, the, you know, state, this criminal enterprise, it's never asking. It's never suggestion. It's not a guideline. A guideline is a, you know, a kind word and a suggestion saying, oh, you might want to try it this way. You might want to, you know, here's an idea. No, 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 no. When it comes to the government, it is the threat of force and the actual use of violence to get their way. This is not a guideline. Whatever
and
they come up with.
And there is no law so trivial that they won't kill you to enforce it.
Here's
they strangled a man to death over selling loose cigarettes in New York City.
Right.
So don't think they won't kill your child for vaping.
Here's an example of the American Medical Association, you know, just encouraging the democratic process to move on. It's simple. We must keep nicotine products out of the hands of young people, unquote. AMA President Dr. Patrice Harris said in a statement. Also Tuesday, New York Attorney General Letitia James announced a lawsuit against Juul Labs, claiming that the company illegally marketed flavored e-cigarettes to teenagers.
I mean, again, it comes right back to what I was saying before about people have not yet learned their lesson. This tough talk, we must keep nicotine. Did he say nicotine products? He didn't say just vape products.
He said nicotine products.
So they're talking about a total ban on anything nicotine related.
Cigarettes.
Right?
And it's interesting.
It's never worked, ever, banning
and
things.
People will die. If they outlaw cigarettes and vapes and enforce that the way they've enforced the drug war, we're talking millions of deaths.
Sure, but not only that, but also think about the black market nicotine products that'll then become a thing.
Right.
You know, you've got black market THC products right now that are the things that are causing deaths. Well, now you're going to push all nicotine products underground. Well, guess what? They're still going to be manufactured. They're just going to be manufactured by drug cartels and, you know, questionable Chinese factories and smuggled into the United States. And the price, of course, will go up by 10x.
Now, interestingly, and if you don't think Big Tobacco's donations to political campaigns play into this, have you heard the changes in snus?
Snus?
Mm-hmm. Chewing tobacco, but snus.
Little bags of it.
Right, right. And they have recently changed their regulations from the FDA on how they can package and sell snus. They are reducing it from requiring it to, say, may cause your, you know, lip to fall off or something like that, or to basically saying, well, if you're going to do it, it's still not really healthy. They downgraded for a product that is now becoming popular with Big Tobacco, a chewing tobacco that is safer than the one before. Yet with this, which is a safer delivery method than cigarettes, which involves inhaling smoke, they're completely against it. So it just means I agree with you. The last big tobacco is also producing. The idea is they want to do an e-cigarette that will actually heat up and release vapor from actual tobacco. So it would be
A plant. Or
An herb vaporizer for tobacco, which they've had for marijuana for a long time.
Sure, but the idea is, well, we should replace all Juuls with these because they still use our tobacco. So this is being pursued, too.
Which, it might have some health benefit, but it can't be as healthy as just, you know, a vape, because you've still got all of those chemicals that are in tobacco, and that's a lot of chemicals.
And their whole thing is, we want people to associate nicotine with tobacco because that's our brand.
Right.
When you start to go into, and this is the problem with flavors from their business point of view, flavors for the first time gave me an alternative that didn't taste like a cigarette. I don't associate my craving for nicotine with my craving for cigarettes. The cigarette smell, the cigarette taste. It's a big difference, and it helped me quit. 855-450-FREE. This is Free Talk Live. This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Our last segment of the evening. In studio, it's Chris.
And Ian.
And nobody.
And we have been talking about smoking and vaping and nicotine and alternatives.
Oh, my.
Yeah, oh, my. And we had just talked briefly about changing regulations. We don't have a story to refer to. We're going to see if we can bring that in one of these evenings. Talking about reduced regulations for snus, S-N-U-S. This is something that has been a thing in, I believe, Scandinavian countries for quite some time. There have been a couple companies that have opened up to do it here, still a tobacco product. But the federal government may decide that they don't need as many regulations for that tobacco product as evidently flavored vapes. It's really weird.
I would love to see some statistical information saying that snus is safer than vaping. I don't believe that. It seems it seems contrary to all common sense. Now, of course, the reason we do research is because the answers returned by research aren't always what you would expect from common sense.
Right, right, right.
You know, otherwise we could just use common sense and not worry about research. But I would love to see some solid numbers on this stuff.
We're going to look into that, and we'll certainly cover it one of these shows. But it is interesting that the government demonizes what we're really talking about is nicotine, that a lot of people have become addicted to. A lot of people just enjoy it. They don't mind being addicted to it. I love when I get to go outside and vape, or if I take a vape break, it gives me a burst of energy. This is a feature of nicotine, and it helps calm my nerves. That's why a lot of people that have been diagnosed with ADD say that they get something out of a cigarette, you know, and I just choose a safer method of doing that.
I'm going to give my prediction as to where this will end up. I don't think they're going to ban it at the federal level.
You think Trump's just going through the motions with this big meeting tomorrow?
No, I think what they're going to do is make a bunch of noise about banning it and then taxing it, because the real problem, I think, is that people are escaping tobacco taxes by using vapes. Mm-hmm. And the governments depend on those tobacco taxes to exist. And they can't just start start taxing vaping, because it doesn't make any sense. The reason they're taxing cigarettes is to stop people from using cigarettes. So they have to demonize vaping before they can tax it. And I think that's the end game here. No ban, yes tax. That's what I expect. And I hope that my fellow vapers will be out there in the streets with me raising holy hell if and when they do that.
Well, count me in. This whole thing has been such a travesty, as nobody brought up earlier. When we first started talking about this, it became apparent within about a week that these horrible deaths, all these people sickened by, mm-hmm. quote, vaping, it was really black market THC vapes that were using vitamin E acetate as a thinner, a thickener. It was as an additive in these things. And Vice magazine found this out within about a week. It was really fast after this story broke. And then consequently, the CDC found out really quick.
For government.
2 months later. And then they finally.
For government, that's pretty quick.
Yeah, I guess. But it's a shame. Because now you have an entire industry that actually has helped health. You have a million people, millions of people, potentially dropping cigarettes in favor of vapes, thanks to flavors.
Yeah, I really want to look at the numbers on number of Americans vaping, number of Americans smoking, and how many of the people vaping used to smoke,
right,
or smoke when they don't vape,
right.
There is a unrelated story, but we were talking about a high schooler who was tackled here in Keene over right. vaping in the bathroom, and my roommate came into the studio earlier tonight and shared a story with us from the Free Thought Project about a young man who was, I guess he's a high school freshman in Florida, who was suspended for 5 days because he did a little bit of political outreach in his high school.
Oh, my God.
So this could happen to any students that wanted to do outreach on vaping freedoms, for instance. A student whose mother asked not to be named was suspended recently and will remain suspended for an entire week. His violation was he wore a hat that read "Taxation is theft" across the front and handed out flyers for a libertarian presidential candidate who advocates ending the war on drugs.
So what did he get suspended for?
Wearing a hat. And handing out flyers. Neither of the statements are threatening, obscene, or otherwise illegal, yet recently the student, who will be referred to as E in this story, was approached by school staff members for wearing the hat. E says that he was wearing the hat at a time and place in which students are allowed to wear hats, but possibly due to the words, he believes he was targeted. He told the Free Thought Project, quote, "The administration claimed I can't wear hats outside, when it actually says in the Florida Constitution that students can, in fact, wear hats or other headgear outside."
They have a constitutional right to wear hats in Florida? I had no idea.
Florida, man.
Florida's
passes.
Constitution yeah. is a dumb document. They have to update yeah. it whenever somebody passes a constitutional amendment. So, like in a lot of states, you can do these ballot procedures.
Referendums.
And, yeah. Florida has referendums, but they are to amend the Constitution right. whenever you pass a referendum.
Oh, so it's constantly ban, hacked.
Yeah, the smoking ban or the bullet train or whatever these things are that they've passed have all gone into the Constitution.
Wow.
Yeah. And rightly understood, the federal Constitution would ban a federal ban on wearing hats in school, because there's always the Ninth Amendment, which points out that the enumeration in this Constitution of certain rights shall not be held to deny or disparage others retained by the people.
Right.
E was handing out flyers for the 2020 presidential candidate Dan Berman, who advocates for ending the war on drugs and that taxation is theft, and all hell broke loose. He found himself surrounded by school staff who says he attempted to detain him for handing out the flyers. Quote, "I tried to leave the cafeteria when I was told I wasn't being detained, and I only stayed because I was followed, harassed, and coerced into doing so." A deputy then got involved and told school administrators that E was filming them. Quote, "They got the deputy involved the first time because I started recording. He was nearby when they confronted me for handing out the flyers and then walked up to us and said, 'I'd like to let you know that he might be recording you without your knowledge.' He says, 'I was suspended out of school for 5 days for the flyers and refusing to turn them in and then being skeptical of their claims as to what the rules are.'" He says,
"Well, you should be. They claim you live in a free country
yeah. right.
in school."
He says, "They lied to me about the hat rule, so I was thinking they might be lying again. They didn't allow the opportunity for me to look up the rule because they knew they could have possibly been wrong." Kudos to this guy for,
right.
Number one, actually, you know, using his free speech rights in a school campus, but number two, to not believe the bureaucrats when they're making claims.
Yeah, I've had them frequently lie to me, tell me it's against the law for you to videotape us when it's
not true. Yeah, no. They just straight up lie about that all the time. E did provide a copy of the suspension letter, which says he was suspended for, quote, disobedience/insubordination.
Insubordination.
The Free Thought Project contacted the school district and has not received a response. And they say here, when expressing peaceful opinions on taxation and the war on drugs gets you kicked out of school for 5 days, for insubordination, it may be time to bring the mission of public education into question. They say.
And when did subordination become part of education anyway?
When the government took over.
Insubordination is a military charge.
Exactly.
I was just in a community college a couple years ago. My teachers were not my superiors.
No, they were teachers.
Just teachers. Yeah. They had a different job than I did, and I was paying them to do their job with me.
Right, but that's not public education. It's not voluntary. And you can't get out of paying for it.
Well, and it's all about hierarchy there. It's all about teaching or training these students. This is what life is going to be like. There's men with guns and badges who are going to tell you what to do. These people in purported authority over you are going to tell you how to live your life, and you better obey or else you're going to get tackled.
Besides, it prepares you for prison. So, you know, it's not like you're not learning a useful life skill.
Exactly. Thank you for joining us here on Free Talk Live, where we're talking about the issues of the day. We invite you to call any day of the year because we're always here, 7 p.m. Eastern to
whenever
10 p.m.
Hello, everyone. This is Courtney Schrem, and I want to invite you to join my husband and I, Charlie Schrem, on his new show, Untold Stories, for a deep dive into crypto history with the people who made that history. Together, we'll explore the personalities and events that gave rise to Bitcoin and the crypto revolution, the innovation, the collaboration, the battles, and the busts. You'll have a front row seat to the early days of crypto up to today, and you'll hear it from the folks who lived through it and survived to drive this movement mainstream. Untold Stories looks back to reveal what inspired some of the greatest minds on earth to come together to create this technology and change the future for everyone. So join Charlie and his guests, the techies and the traders, the entrepreneurs and the innovators, as they explore our past and understand what that means for the future.
Do you operate a retail business and are looking for a solution for point-of-sale cryptocurrency acceptance? It's never been easier thanks to AnyPay.global. There's no paperwork or approval process to open an account. If you already have a tablet at your cash register, you're almost done. Just sign up at AnyPay.global. Drop your personal crypto wallet addresses in our setup page and then load our app. That's it. You're accepting cryptocurrency like Bitcoin and Dash at your store. Get started now at AnyPay.global. That's AnyPay.global.